Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I'm John Batchelor with Charles Spicer. His book is Coffee with Hitler, the untold story of the amateur spies who tried to civilize the Nazis. Lloyd George met Hitler in September of 36. It is now the summer of 37 into the fall of 37. There is no longer an illusion in London that the Nazi regime is rising to power, both to remilitarize and to brutalize its citizens everywhere, but especially Jewish citizens. At the same time, the DEG in Berlin and the Anglo-German Fellowship in London are being penetrated by spies. And I hardly have time to go very far in these avenues that Charles introduces us to, but the NKVD is present. MI5 is always watching the fellowship. Also, I must note at this point that one of the hires of a young man from Cambridge, who was a fluent German speaker, who has been identified in Cambridge as very left, is named Philby, Kim Philby. Charles, when I read this part of your book, I said, this is too much. I've had to learn the Cambridge Five entirely from the Soviet point of view. Now I have to learn it from the German point of view. Why was Kim Philby at the Anglo-German Fellowship? He was hired by them. He was paid by them.
Yes, he was asked by invited to come in to set up the publicity department, to do a bit of what we would now call PR. And just like now, when, you know, companies run by older businessmen need to do stuff with social media, they will go to university graduates from a top university to get the latest thinking. That's what they appear to have done by getting Kim Philby to come and join. He's introduced by a family friend who's a member of the Sir Roger Chance, who's a family friend, who's a member of the fellowship. And he joins both as a member and a member of the staff.
And he's reporting to his cutout, or he's reporting to the Soviets, because Stalin is watching this. And a sidebar from later in the story, but let's introduce this. Stalin pays a great deal of attention to the fellowship in London and the Gesellschaft, because his fear, his anxiety, is that Germany and Britain will work together to oppose the Soviets.
Absolutely. And you know, obviously that's a major piece of macro diplomacy, but does appear to have been prompted by this relatively small organization and this one individual in the shape of Philby, who's feeding this information all the way through to the Second World War. And he's encouraging Stalin to see the fellowship as a bogeyman that could create that sort of alliance between Britain and Germany against Soviet Russia.
A note here, the DEG, the Deutsche Englische Gesellschaft in Berlin, my note says that it was much more baldly anti-Semitic than anything that happened in London. Is that correct? Their presentation, their language, their remarks in the newspaper were consistent with Hitlerite.
Only later on, the senior politicians are certainly loyal Nazis, but a lot of the businessmen who were members and had supported it and indeed financed it were quite sceptical about the Nazi regime, and a number of them were internationalists, so weren't explicitly anti-Semitic.
We're still trying to find a way to civilize Hitler. This is now the late summer, early fall of 1937, and the Rhineland move of the previous year was seen as something you could rationalize because the Treaty of Versailles and the Locarno Treaty had not been fair-minded or generous to the Germans to rebuild. So we now need to turn to another embassy by a man who is not going to be fooled by Hitler. His name is Halifax. He's now the foreign minister, the Earl of Halifax, Edward Frederick Lindley Wood. Only Charles's book has ever taught me that name completely. When we come back, Halifax to Berghoff. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Charles Spicer, whose wondrous new book, Coffee with Hitler, is the untold story of the amateur spies who tried to civilize the Nazis. It is now November of 1937. Halifax is the foreign minister. He is everything you could want in a hero, but he's modest about it. He's tall. He rides after the foxes. Yes, he's a master of the hunt. He also is a man who is interested to find a way to work with Germany to avoid war. And so as he arrives at Berghof, it is a completely different environment than when Lloyd George arrived in September of 36. The photograph in your book, Charles, is that after the meeting on their way out or is that their way in? Because everybody's standing quite awkwardly.
It's a very good question. I think it's on the way out.
Yeah, that makes sense because they look like they're departing. And the photograph suggests everything you say. Hitler was either in a bad mood that day, or he had turned on the English idea of English charm, of English romance, and was now openly hostile. Is that how to read the picture?
Absolutely. It's a very awkward lunch meeting between the two statesmen. They had absolutely no chance of understanding each other. And famously, when he arrives, Halifax initially mistakes Hitler for a footman and is only prevented from making the most awful gaffe by the foreign minister von Neurath going, der Führer, into his ear before he hands, because he was about to hand him his coat.
What is Halifax's opinion of Germany at this point? He's going to be extremely important at the table in number 10 Downing, not only for Chamberlain, but also for Churchill.
It's a very good question. I think he's very skeptical, but he is hoping that everything can be done to prevent a war.
Is he briefed well by Van Sittart? Does he arrive with complete information of what Christie's been telling them about the Christie's information from Goring is so first rate, it's like a crystal ball. Does Halifax have that when he arrives at Berghof?
Yes, he should have done, yeah.
So we're looking at men who were informed of the hostility of the Hitlerites and were still trying to work with him. And Halifax will become important for Chamberlain because he has personal knowledge of traveling to Berghof, which is something Chamberlain will attempt in September of 38. So as Halifax sits with the, I think you say they both sit and talk, and then they have a lunch that is reported is not very successful. And the does the dictator show at that point, on that instance, that he has these episodes where he goes into rants? Does he rant in front of Halifax?
Absolutely. Halifax is appalled by his some of the stuff that Hitler says. If I remember rightly, because they still find themselves discussing India, where Halifax had been the viceroy of India, and Hitler explains why he didn't just shoot the Indians when they were not cooperating.
Yes, I remember that story now. I was flabbergasted when I read it. And now Halifax goes back to London. I want to make sure here before we're on the eve of 38, which is the year of, so many hard changes. Halifax goes back to London and he informs his prime minister of what he witnessed. Is that correct, Charles? And
yes.
He writes a lengthy report and all the cabinets see it. And we presume that the important members of parliament see it. And the...
But where Halifax gets it wrong is that he believed Hitler's protestations that he did not want war.
I see. That's why you said it was like sending a religious man to meet a fox
or no,
to meet a tiger. No, that was Lloyd George described it as sending a curate, which means a very junior priest in this country, to visit a tiger.
And the opinion today, all these decades later, was Halifax fooled? Did he fool himself? Because this is a man who is extremely well educated in foreign affairs.
Yes, I think he was. I think he was fooled.
By the dictator fooled Halifax. That's the result of this meeting.
At least for a short period of time, yes. And he was appalled by him, but he did believe that he didn't want to have a war.
It is now January of 1938, and we will turn to that when we next meet with Charles Spicer. The book fills in the missing pieces of how it is that Europe goes to war between Germany and everyone else, how that happens and how the men who tried to stop it left their record long afterwards that Charles now gives us in Coffee with Hitler. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No